This episode of Let the Hate Flow Through You is brought to you by Jess Falstick.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday! Get down to the Avenue Tap House in Lakewood, Ohio to catch Jess Falstick! Host a lineup of regional and national comedians guaranteed to make you giggle! No charge to get in for that seat, but you'll only need the edge!
That's Jess Falstick!
This is Nick Yurick, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Flow through you, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week we travel to New York for one person's 15 minutes of fame. Joining us this week is comedian, record store goddess, and jail princess, Chelsea King.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, it's me.
Thanks for coming on, Chels.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Good.
Talk about my hate.
Yeah, no, it's about fucking time.
Yeah. So, Chelsea, why do you hate Andy Warhol?
Oh, there are many reasons why I hate Andy Warhol. As a teenager, I was super into, like, punk rock. Mm-hmm. And, I thought Andy Warhol was the coolest ever, and
was it his hair or was it his art?
It was the scene. It was that whole scene. I just thought it was enigmatic and cool.
Okay, like Lou Reed, the Velvet Underground.
Yeah, for sure. And just like, you know, the whole like anti-establishment kind of deal. And I mean, I'm a big fan of pop art.
Okay.
But as I grew up, I realized all I was really responding to in Andy Warhol's art was the aesthetic, I guess. Just I feel like he's a designer. He's not an artist.
Agreed.
He didn't do anything that was his own.
Nope.
Ever. And he farmed talent from other people, and a lot of those people died.
Yeah.
And
it seemed like he had a very pretty place to do heroin.
Yeah. I think he was mostly doing like speed and shit though, and just getting, the other people, you know, hooked on junk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speed isn't really a good artistic drug, I found. You focus too much on like little things that don't matter instead of the big picture.
I think it can work for music. I mean, I definitely think there's something to that, but I mean, yeah, I read Please Kill Me and they talk about him being on methamphetamine a lot.
Like, yeah.
Not meth, but, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever speed was back then, whatever they called it back then. I think it was just speed, wasn't it?
I mean, they called it speed until they needed something trashier to call it. That's basically what happened.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, like, just from, because I hate Andy Warhol, too, always have. I don't understand how you can take a picture of Marilyn Monroe, add some colors to it, and call it fucking art. Like, eat a dick. Like, not having it.
I don't understand how you can take Kevin Smith, shave off his beard, put on a little cholo mustache, and call it El Jordano Diablo. But you know what?
It works, though, for me. But I've never had the audacity to call myself an artist. And if I did, I was probably fucked up on drugs or alcohol or both.
Yeah, well, Andy Warhol was apparently fucked up on speed and called himself an artist.
And before you even say it, I'm not jealous of his hair. His hair sucked.
Well, it wasn't even his.
Yeah.
Well, so
it was awful.
It was wigs.
Yeah. Did he have cancer or did he just hate his natural hair?
I think he just wanted to be weird.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was that his driving thing, was being weird?
I don't even know if it was necessarily being weird. I think the thing that Andy Warhol was trying to do was take just like very regular American things and celebrate how regular they were.
So basically, like he said, the Marilyn Monroe prints, by adding that much color, you could see how ridiculously normal everything was.
It just became, it's like a, there's a difference to me with like a pop artist like Claes Oldenburg, who did like the free stamp in Cleveland. Okay. So this guy is making these things. He's taking everyday objects and just making them like larger than life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's meaningless. But then with Andy Warhol, it's like he took the just like these American banalities and tried to like give them an inherent value.
Okay.
That there's, I mean, what's the value really? You know, I mean,
like, isn't art supposed to make you feel something? Like,
well, yeah, I guess so.
His art just now, makes me mad.
Here's the thing, though. I left art school because I didn't want to make art that, like, I didn't want to bleed on a canvas and, like, explain my art.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make stuff that looked cool.
Yeah.
So, like, the whole just aesthetic thing, like, just basing your art entirely on an aesthetic, not on a meaning or feeling, I totally get that.
Okay.
The way he went about it, I think, is what is the problem. And he ruined a lot of lives.
Wasn't he, like, super emotionally abusive to, was it Edie Sedgwick?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, he was gay.
Yeah. He was. He was also, I mean, probably his IQ was very low. He probably had an IQ of like, you know, mid 80s.
That makes sense.
And yeah, which is why he had to.
So when
you
people
know,
call him a genius,
curate all of this other people's bullshit.
So are you insinuating that if you curate a lot of people's bullshit, this is a sign of low IQ?
It's definitely a sign of a lack of creativity, and I would say therefore a lack of intelligence.
Interesting. We can apply that to a lot of things. Let's not do that.
Well, yeah, it'll turn into a fucking session of
another dish sesh with old Jeremy Shear. Which you, the listener, have informed me that once every couple of months is fine.
Once a week, not so much.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's okay.
Yeah. So which lives did he ruin? Let's see if it was worth it.
Well, I mean, Edie Sedgwick is like the big one, I guess, that people would think of.
Nico?
Well, I don't know if he necessarily ruined Nico's life. I think Nico, nobody would have ever known who Nico was if it wasn't for Andy Warhol.
That's fair.
So maybe he did her a service. I don't know that anybody needed to know who Nico was.
She's crazy. She still goes around and plays, so.
Sorry.
Brought notes.
I did bring notes. Like Basquiat is another life that he was kind of a little bit responsible for ruining, I think.
Well, I mean, it seemed like he pulled him off the street and then throw him into the limelight. Was that what ruined him, or was it everything else that he was exposed to?
I don't think that Basquiat ever needed to get famous. I think he was, he certainly couldn't mentally handle it.
Yeah.
And he was a junkie. And there were a lot of things working against it. He was incredibly talented, obviously. But I don't think he never, I don't think he ever needed that much exposure.
Do you think
that was bad for him?
Do you think it was just because Warhol was irresponsible, or because he thought he could, you know, basically curate the stressors in his life and make it okay?
I think probably a little of both. I think, I don't think he necessarily, I don't think Andy Warhol cared what happened to these people.
No, I agree with that completely.
It was all about what Andy Warhol was going to gain from this.
Yeah, absolutely. You get that a lot from, in like, in Please Kill Me, because, like, that's mostly what I know about Andy Warhol's from that book. And they, I mean, you know, obviously, that I don't know if anybody's not read that book. It's pretty much a series of interviews put together in a certain way that it's told like a story.
Yeah.
And though, I mean, so I can't really say Legs McNeil praises him, but a lot of people that he interviewed do.
Yeah.
And I just, the whole time I was reading, it's like the same thing with Lou Reed. Like, I always thought, like, that dude is such a fucking asshole.
Yep. I'm totally with you.
Like, I've never understood the stigma behind either of them, Andy Warhol or Lou Reed, because, I mean, don't get me wrong, Lou Reed made good music, whatever. It's not really my thing, but people love it. But the two are, like, almost synonymous.
Yeah.
I mean, especially, well, early on in Lou Reed's career, anyway. And I've never understood behind, like, those two dudes literally only gave a fuck about themselves and didn't care who got hurt in the way,
right,
like, on the way to where they were going. And I just, as a, I don't know, person, like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, as a human.
Yeah, as a human. Yeah. Like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Like, who do you think you are?
I keep getting told that that's the correct way to do art. Is not give a shit about people.
No, I mean, I do agree to some extent. I think I've said it on this show before. I've said it on another show before that, like, when you are doing something artistic, be it comedy or music or whatever, along the way, you are going to have to step on some necks if you want to get to where you want to be. Whether you want to or not, it's part of it. But it seems like maybe they didn't go out of their way to ruin people's. No, that's bullshit, because they did. Like, especially Lou Reed. Like, he went out of his way to make people feel like shit.
Yeah. And I think, like, it's one thing. How do I explain this? It's one thing to do art and not care what other people think.
Yeah.
It is a different thing to co-opt other people's art and make it your own, or call it your own.
Call it your own, yeah, for sure.
And then not care what people think.
Hmm. Okay. So basically, Warhol took these people and made it a part of the Warhol brand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The factory brand. And, like, all of the Warhol, like, superstars, he told all of these different girls, like, that he was going to make them a movie star, and he would put them in these semi-pornographic, like, early hipster nonsense performance art videos of, like, you know, a girl brushing her teeth. It's just, like, nonsense. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Unwatchable. And, you know, he, like, fed these girls drugs and promised them, you know, that they were going to be famous. They were going to have their fucking 15 minutes. And
that 15 minutes was a very small showing at his gallery with his hipster nonsense.
Or, like showing, like, okay, so, oh, the Velvet Underground is going to play and your video is going to be projected not only on top of, like, a wall, but on top of them while they're playing, too. Like, yeah, oh, my God, what an artist. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Now, the hate's really starting to build. I forgot how much I fucking don't like this guy.
Is there a video of him fucking himself?
I'm sure he made one.
I don't know about that. He did like a series of videos where he just filmed like his lover at the time sleeping. Hmm. And that was like supposed to be like, that was like a big, that was a big deal. It was art. It was high art. And it, like,
there's nothing.
Give me a break.
Yeah, there's nothing artistic about people sleeping.
It's just, no, he did. And it's more of just taking like these everyday things and like pretending there's a value to it.
Why do people buy into it then? Like, because they're, I mean, even like, it seems like each generation, like, especially like people our age, yeah, we're the same age, like, they, like, some people love Andy fucking Warhol.
Oh, yeah. Age,
and I just don't get it. Like, I'm never going to understand it.
I think, I mean, aesthetically, his work is interesting. Pop art just is, I mean, it's colorful and big and fun to look at. And it looks great as a t-shirt or, you know, like a tote bag. It's always going to look great printed on something. It doesn't mean anything. It's, you know.
Well, this is probably an unpopular opinion for some people if they know who he is. But like Boyd Rice. Boyd Rice, he's the dude from Non. Like, pretty much invented noise music.
Okay.
Like, he's also in, what was that fucking other band he was in? I can't remember. Anyway, he's also one of those dudes that, like, wore fucking swastikas.
Okay.
You know, like, whatever. And he, like, he does, but he still to this day does pop art, but he's, like, a writer, and he's been doing this shit for years. And, like, his stuff is very interesting to me. Like, and you can tell, I mean, it's pop art, so it's, yeah, like, it's all kind of generally the same concept.
Sure.
For the most part. And, like, I like that a lot, but, like, when it comes to, like, I always go back to the Marilyn Monroe thing, or is it the Campbell Soup thing?
Yeah.
Like, what about that is aesthetically pleasing? I don't get it, because you see it everywhere.
Have you, yeah, ever opened your cupboard and just fallen in love with what you see in front of you?
Look at me. Of course I have.
Yeah. Well, you apparently don't love soup as much as other people.
Well, I just need somebody to do art of, like, a package of Aldi brand ramen, and that will be my pop art.
Well, get a hold of Boyd Rice, I'm sure.
Just screen print it in, like, 5 or 6 different colors, hang it across the wall.
Art.
And it's art.
Art.
Yeah. You're going to be a billionaire.
I think I know our next project. Or you can email brice@churchofsatan.com and get that done.
I don't believe he's long. No, he still is affiliated, but yeah, he's not like he used to be. He used to be like a high priest in there, I think.
Yeah. Listeners, if you scroll through the Dave Bochner archive at db8.ca, and look in the Dry Core show archives. Dry Core interviewed him one night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. He's very rare that he does that. I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah. This was about 4 years ago.
I'm glad that you know who he is. He's also, like, you know who Death in June is?
No.
Oh, he is, like, he's, like, super tight with those guys. Or that band, rather. I'm trying to think of, I mean, he was, like, really good friends with Anton LaVey.
Oh.
Yeah, so I have another book I'll let you borrow.
Okay.
Is like, it's a collection of his writings, but like he's very, it's controversial would probably be the right word for him, right?
Sure.
I mean, he says things, but I don't know, it comes off the wrong way. I would say he's one of those dudes that says shit to say shit and see what reaction he can,
yeah,
get out of people.
One
which
of those.
Is not like what I like to do, but I can, in a certain way, I can appreciate it.
Yeah.
But
I like how you're making excuses for your sexy Satanists.
I mean,
I don't agree with what they're saying. They're just trying to be shocking. No, they're cunts.
No, I mean, yeah, he is kind of a cunt, but he's also, he's all right. What it comes down to is he's fascinating. That's what it is to me. He's fascinating.
Well, wouldn't you argue that the same can be said for Warhol? Because they're basically, Anton LaVey and Andy Warhol are very similar.
Yeah, I mean, I can say that Andy Warhol is, I would not compare the two, no, but I would say, yes, he is.
They're both cults of personality.
Yeah, but I mean, at least Anton LaVey did works that fucking he could stand behind, and like, he wrote, I mean, fuck rules, but that he wrote rules for. Andy Warhol was just like, oh, this is, I mean, essentially what you said, Chelsea, like, oh, this is mine now. Like,
yeah,
this is my person, so it's my art. Fuck you.
Yeah. And I think there's like,
Anton LaVey only did that with James Mansfield.
Yeah. There's a difference to me between like cultural criticism in art, where you take a figure that everybody is aware of and do something with it that makes a statement.
Sure.
Versus like Andy Warhol was just like culturally indulgent. He just picked up these things from pop culture and just threw them up there.
Yeah.
And there's no comment on anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't, I don't know.
It's like somebody going, what's the deal with airplane food? And then showing you a plate of airplane food.
Neatly arranged, though.
Yeah.
It'd have to be. But
what are you trying to say about airplane food? Well, make your own decisions. Here it is for you.
Yeah.
What the fuck was I going to say?
You tell me what the deal is with airplane food.
Would you stop doing Seinfeld bits?
No, this is Andy Seinfeld.
I mean, I do believe he is fascinating because, like, he has inspired a lot of shit that I do like.
Sure.
Like a lot of people I've looked up to love Andy Warhol and cite him as an influence.
Like the Rolling Stones, huge Andy Warhol supporters.
Yeah. The Rolling Stones, I'm trying, like, somebody, I mean, the Ramones hung out at the, or at least Dee Dee did.
Yeah.
I know, hung out, like, with that crowd.
Yeah.
In the very beginning. And, I mean, I love Dee Dee Ramone.
Yeah.
Somebody else had crossed my mind, though, that was just, I can't remember who it is at the moment, but it'll come back to me.
Bowie.
Oh, Bowie?
Bowie, yeah. Bowie wrote a really great song about Andy Warhol.
He did.
There's a line in the song where he says, I'd like to be a gallery, put you all inside my show.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly just like a summation of what he's doing. Andy Warhol didn't want to make art. He wanted to be responsible for showing you the art.
Hmm.
So he's, I mean, basically wanted to be a promoter then.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So let's look at what he promoted. What was he putting out there? You know, we talked about the Velvet Underground. We talked about hipster bullshit.
He was responsible for later hipster bullshit like the Dandy Warhols.
Yeah, but the Dandy Warhols rule.
No, I'm not. Yes, I like the Dandy Warhols. It's still hipster bullshit.
It is. It's for sure. Courtney Taylor is like number one hipster asshole. That guy's
Anton,
so cool.
Anton, what's his last name? From Brian Jonestown.
Yeah.
Why can't I think of his last name right now? Anyway, he's like king asshole. Like they're both.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I assume you've seen Dig.
Of course.
It's so amazing.
Yeah.
But like they're both fucking assholes. And it's hipster nonsense bullshit, but I like it.
Yeah.
Like I definitely like
it. Yeah, it's hilarious. What were we talking about before we dove into that?
What else did Andy Warhol curate and make a part of his show?
Oh,
that's eminently hateable.
I guess, the art itself isn't even the hateable part to me.
It's him as a person.
It's him as a human.
Okay.
And I absolutely get why he was the way he was. He was raised super Catholic.
Okay.
And the idea of like idols, mm-hmm. you know, and idolizing something is very prevalent in Catholicism. And he was, not only was he raised Catholic, but he was Catholic for his entire life. He was like just a weird Catholic guy. And
bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I have sucked 30 dicks. Looking for 31.
For I am gay.
But I think he took that idea of like religious idolatry and, you know, turned it into cultural idolatry.
Okay.
Basically what I'm saying is that if there wasn't an Andy Warhol, we wouldn't have the Kardashians.
Agreed. I remember what I was going to say before. Andy Warhol's responsible for, like, the whole club kid movement, essentially.
For sure.
And, like, to me, that's, like, another thing that's, like, super fucking fascinating to me.
I'm totally fascinated by that whole thing.
Like, the whole, I mean, you know, disco bloodbath. Yeah. Like, Michael Alex, James
St. James. St. James.
James St. James is, like, a hero, in my opinion.
Have you ever watched his recent makeup videos?
No.
He'll have drag queens and, like, makeup artists. It's just, like, a YouTube series.
I've heard about it.
Drag queens and makeup artists come on and make him over. It's very fun. Highly recommended.
I would definitely watch that.
Yeah.
He's just such an interesting person. And without Andy Warhol, that does not exist.
That's true.
At least on that level.
I don't know if I'd be upset if that didn't exist, though.
I mean, we wouldn't know the difference.
I would have made a lot of better decisions in high school if, like, the club kid scene, you know, had not already happened. If Party Monster didn't come out in 2005 or whatever.
2003?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were definitely in high school. We were probably freshmen or sophomores in high school.
And that was the absolute wrong point in my life to see a movie like that.
I want to do ketamine. You had probably already done ketamine at that point.
Yeah.
That's one I've never done.
I've heard that described as the worst drug ever.
No, the worst drug ever was the research chemicals because it didn't stop. But no, I wasn't a big ketamine fan. I don't like things that are engineered to make me feel different. I just... the mood shit.
Specifically with the specific point of making you feel different.
Yeah, I just, you know, I like to be in charge of my mood. But I think that's more because of my own damage than anything else.
Fair enough.
I like to let my lithium take charge of my mood.
Yeah, or have no mood.
Exactly.
Yeah, yep. The no mood thing is, like, I can handle being depressed better than I can when I'm up because it's like, oh, I don't feel anything right now. This is perfect.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing.
It is.
It's weird being this most sane person at this table.
You feel good about yourself, buddy?
No.
Okay. Well, you don't have it all together.
Where's the lithium? I think I need a dose.
Oh, I have it in my pill case at home. I measure out my pills at the beginning of the week.
And, oh, you got like one of the little old lady things?
Yeah, I'm a senior citizen. I have rheumatoid arthritis. It hurts to open pill bottles, so I have to do it once a week.
You
instead
look
of every
damn
day.
Good for 65.
Thank you so much. I feel great. I feel great.
Better than I've ever felt before.
The pharmacy that I stopped going to because they're assholes and not open on the weekends, they offered to give me pills in, like, a packet. Like, so every day I
just have
a packet.
I've heard of, like, an internet service that does that.
Yeah. It's,
do they send Vicodin or Percocet?
That's the only way I'm interested. I don't know.
Joking, people.
Kidding.
They're not kidding. Oh, my
God. Shut up, Sheer.
Shut up.
I'm going to get in more trouble.
Yeah, we're in enough trouble.
No. Oh, yeah, no. Somebody told me on that Saraha thing that I'm going to die soon. They told me, let's see if I can, if it's still logged in, I'll actually read it. And I would love the person to come forward and say this, because when I posted it online, people were like, wow, that's, if somebody cares about you that much, it's probably not something that they should say anonymously to you. But keep talking. I'll find it.
All right. So Andy Warhol has curated all this art, which spun into the club kid movement, and it spun into – how did it exactly – is it the whole just anybody can be famous for 15 minutes that spun into reality TV, or is it just the
yes,
image?
Okay. I think so. That statement of his, that very famous quote, ruined pop culture. Some people don't need to be famous for 15 minutes, even.
Most so, people.
Yeah. I don't need to know about, you know, everybody on earth. You don't need 15 minutes of fame. And if you only get 15 minutes, like, what's the point?
Yeah, I don't know.
But I think that statement of his is the reason that we have like reality television today. I don't think it would have been possible if he had never said that.
Do you think it's necessarily a bad thing, though, because doesn't it kind of break down the wall of celebrity so that, you know, you can be like a cowpoke from the Midwest and all of a sudden you discover hidden talent and there's not those barriers.
Did you just call me a cowpoke?
You're a poke cow. you're a cow. You've got udders. And you
it
get
bruised the hell out of me.
And you get poked. You have a jail pussy.
Oh, fuck you. All right, let me read this to you. So this was sent to me anonymously about 3 weeks ago. Keep working out or you will die. I've seen it a lot. And with your drinking, eating, and drug use, you won't last much longer. You're almost 30 and you need to make a choice in your life. It isn't funny or cute anymore. We all love you and we need you around. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Well, I figured you'd love that, Sheer.
I saw that. It was not me.
Here's the thing. You can't anonymously tell someone to not be afraid to ask for help.
I don't know where to ask. Yeah. Who should I ask?
Yeah, who?
Come forward.
Please.
You fucking pussy. Yeah.
You should make a grand display on Facebook. All of my 500 friends on Facebook, I am in need of help.
And see who comes forward.
Yeah.
I like that.
Not just that LA bullshit where they're like, I'm here for you, and they're just saying it to look cute.
Right. Exactly. it's so funny. Like when, like if anytime you like post anything like depressing or whatever on Facebook, which I try not to do. And like you always get like that person who you haven't spoken to in 5 years, like, I hope things are going okay for you. I'm here for you. Like, no, you're not. And I'm not here for you. Like, we're Facebook friends. Fuck off, loser.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this a side effect from Warhol, though, where it's our pain is subject to, well, it's art. We're putting it out there, out on the social medias to be critiqued and reacted to. And we're all having our little 15 minutes of fame amongst this small bubble of people that we've allowed to watch
accumulated.
Us.
Yeah, I would absolutely say that, like, social media...
Is a product of...
Is, yes.
Yeah, that... yeah, I mean, I can't really... I can't disagree with that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Andy Warhol MySpace profile pictures.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, like... how many YouTube personalities are there now?
Way
like everyone's
too
a YouTube yeah, personality.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, there are various different ways to be a YouTube personality now, which is weird.
Yeah.
There are people that play video games.
There's Froggy Fresh, a.k.a. Krispy Kreme, the rapper. Okay.
There are YouTube rappers. There mm-hmm. are SoundCloud rappers. There's
internet comedians.
There are internet comedians.
There are girls who only do videos of makeup tutorials.
Mm-hmm.
And like, people latch on to these girls.
Oh yeah.
It, like,
I have a
it's,
friend.
It's a 15 minutes thing. It's.
I have a friend that she does that. She's gotten free makeup from some big companies.
Yeah.
Because you know she. She likes playing with it.
So yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah.
I mean, shit. I mean, if you can, I mean, if you can, I mean, I don't know if you can really make a living off that. I mean, I know certain
yes.
things do.
These girls do.
Really?
Yeah.
Make a living. I mean,
they get sent on like trips, like around the world. They're, it's just influencer shit. They're all influencers. And that's, you know.
Let's start our own makeup channel, Sheer. Let's start wearing makeup again.
No. I'm not cutting off my depression beard just so you can powder
oh my God,
my face.
Please let me draw on eyebrows on you guys.
I haven't shaved my eyebrows off since high school.
You don't have to shave them off. I don't shave mine off, but I draw them on this big.
All right. I'll consider it.
Pretty soon you'll see a tutorial on how to draw makeup on Fat Woke Boys by Chelsea King. the one thing I can say about Andy Warhol, and maybe you can shed a little light on this, was he at the war to settle the score or WrestleMania 1? Where was he a guest at?
I remember he was a guest at
some wrestling thing. And I remember seeing the video of Mean Gene Okerlund interviewing him backstage and just being like, yep, that guy's fucking weird. I don't like him.
I'm pretty sure he was just there for Pat Patterson.
Who's originally like first gay, open gay wrestler.
Aw.
Yeah. Canadian, French Canadian.
Well, that's gay to begin with.
It's
like he didn't have a choice.
Gay on top of gay.
Super gay. I love Pat Patterson. Even though people have said disparaging things about him, which I hope aren't true. Yes, but we don't need to get into that.
See, you keep making excuses for these people that you
I'm
like.
Not. I'm. You know what? Fuck it. I'm an apologist.
Yeah.
I'm an apologist for shitty people.
You're a Pat Patterson Church of Satan apologist.
But I don't apologize for myself, so there's something to be said for
you shouldn't
that.
Have to.
Eh. Some people might disagree with you. But I don't. Fuck it. I don't care. I'm punk rock.
Ooh.
I'm a punk rocker who doesn't like Andy Warhol.
Yeah.
So So Lou Reed was just a punk. Well, that's
Lou Reed was a cunt.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, was it really that punk rock what they were doing? I mean, I keep hearing like the Velvet Underground created punk, and I'm like,
they didn't.
Well,
they had the aesthetic of punk rock, but they did not create it.
I mean, they were the first band that. Maybe not the first. They were one of the first bands to do something outside of like normal rock and roll in the late 60s who actually like made it.
Mm.
I mean, I get why people would say, you know, it's the beginning of punk. It definitely is
the Stooges
where
and
it came from.
Are better.
Yeah, well, yeah,
but
of course.
They didn't really make it, though.
No.
No, they didn't. The Stooges were broke. Well, and MC5 was definitely broke.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you can't get on the radio when you're telling people to kick out the Jams, motherfucker.
No, but that is pretty punk rock.
It's so punk rock.
The fact, I love that because they tell that story in Please Kill Me where, like, the company, the record company told them, like, no, you can't do that. And so they switched out the plates with the one without it. And then on the way, I believe, to the record pressing plant or whatever, they switched the plates again so that it did say it.
Yeah.
Which is like, that's fucking awesome. And I don't know, it was probably Wayne Kramer who did that. I love that story. What's the, didn't Bob Dylan, like, pretty much tell Andy Warhol to fuck off in front of a bunch of people one time?
Bob Dylan hated Andy Warhol's guts. For a period of time, Bob Dylan and Edie Sedgwick were, like, a thing.
Okay.
If you ever watch the movie Factory Girl,
I've never seen that.
A lot of it's about. Okay. It's not that great. I wouldn't even recommend it.
Is that the one where people... Oh, no, that's not the one where people play a bunch of Bob Dylan's.
No. Okay. No, I don't remember what that movie was called. Also not great.
Okay.
Bob Dylan and Edie Sedgwick were sort of an item.
Okay.
For a moment. And he absolutely saw what Andy Warhol was doing to her.
Okay.
And like ruining her life.
So an egomaniac saw what another egomaniac was doing to a girl he loved.
Yes.
Okay.
So Bob Dylan went to Andy Warhol's factory one time for a visit. And Andy Warhol wanted to do... Anytime, you know, a celebrity or someone came to the factory, he would do like a short interview kind of video with them.
Mm-hmm.
So he did one with Bob Dylan, and Bob Dylan kind of just gave him like a fuck off vibe the whole time. And then depending on who tells the story, it was either as payment for doing this video or Bob Dylan stole it. One of Andy Warhol's Elvis paintings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then later, Bob Dylan used the painting as a dartboard, which is awesome.
That is really awesome.
I believe Bob Dylan called Andy Warhol like a mean, miserable speed freak. That was, yeah.
Bob Dylan was also a speed freak, but...
Well, I mean...
And he was also mean. I don't know if he was miserable, but he was mean to people.
He was probably miserable. How could he not be?
It's part of being on speed.
Yeah, that's very true. Didn't we just have that conversation the other day? The come down from speed?
Yeah, the come down from speed is the worst.
It is literally the worst. Specifically, like, when I say speed, I mean, like, Adderall and stupid shit like that.
It's all speed.
It's all speed. Yeah.
I remember, like, the day after, like, a couple of day meth binge being the...
meth didn't make you feel good?
No, meth made you feel amazing, dude. That's the fucking problem with it is just like doing Adderall, except you feel great. It's not just, all right, like, I'm up, I'm focused, I'm ready to do work. It's, I'm up, I'm focused, I feel like a god.
That was not ever my experience. Mm. But my family can't listen to this podcast now, by the way.
Okay, we have that quite a bit.
Well, fair enough. You know, I was the god of going to the sink and getting multiple glasses of water so I didn't dehydrate. So I wasn't like...
Oh, good for you. You did it right.
Yeah.
You were responsible.
Yeah, I was a responsible meth head. That was what I did. I played video games. I colored pictures. I had really weird sex and drank a lot of water. That was my meth life.
So you were basically a club kid.
Yeah, but I didn't go to the club. I was in an apartment with sheets over the windows so the cops couldn't see in.
Are we talking like second, third floor apartment, or are we talking first floor?
Second, third
floor. Okay, so that's, yeah, there you go. That's meth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The cops can see in here on the third floor.
I'm going to pick my face off now.
I had a buddy of mine that he looked like he was an old-timey wrestler just because he'd pick his forehead until it bled.
Oh,
that was
his
deal. I tried to get him into the whole, like, just going to the sink and drinking little glasses of water thing. I thought that was a way better tick to have, but he liked picking at his forehead, so.
Ooh.
Everybody has their own thing. It's fine. I just, you know, we started, the people I was doing speed with, like, we started doing it, like, just because we were all, like, drunk and drugged out. But we were trying to create music. Like, that was why we were all together for the most part. And, like, nothing came out of that.
Not math rock. Math rock.
Math rock.
Yeah, so I don't know how it's like a creative boost. I mean, I understand the ability to focus, but I found that, like, again, you miss, like, the big picture.
Yeah.
When you're that focused.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've written jokes on speed, and, you know,
it's just the punchline over and over again.
They're very well crafted, but are they funny? Right? The answer was no.
Like, you don't, like, understand.
You worked on it for an hour and a half, but... You know,
this comma right here is so important.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, well, I was writing. Okay. This is what it was. I got asked to do Superman versus Batman in a roast battle.
Okay.
Dan Brown was Batman.
You were Superman.
I was Superman.
Okay.
I shaved and everything.
Why haven't I heard this before? Go on.
Yeah. So I took a bunch of Adderall one night. Sat in the smoking room, like, chain smoked cigarettes for about 2 hours and wrote like 20 Batman jokes and put it down. I was like, this is genius. So I show up to the show and I realize these are all too nerdy.
Oh my God.
They're all reference laughs and, oh, a rape joke. Fantastic.
Superman telling a rape joke about Batman.
Yeah. Well, it was like your parents are dead and your biological son was fathered by Talia al Ghul during a rape. We get it. You're the Dark Knight.
I get it.
Yeah.
But it
was a bunch of, like, you know, I miss the big picture of, like, people don't read, like, Batman comics and see all the Batman shit. So you got to keep your references tighter, and I was just, you know, trying to get the pick out the most, you know, obscure shit that, like, only diehard Batman fans would know.
I'd like to apologize on the behalf of Jeremy Shear. I'm now a Jeremy Shear apologist as well, so yeah. Join the club, buddy.
You know what? I need more of those.
Because you won't apologize for yourself.
No. No. I've said I'm sorry to who I need to say I'm sorry to. I'm done.
Fair enough. I'll continue being a Jeremy Shear apologist. I'm going to get that shirt made.
Yeah, Jeremy Shear apologist.
Yes.
All right.
That's... That would actually be a great shirt for you. What was the other one?
Jeremy Shear guy.
That one, I'm a Jeremy Shear guy. Also, Shear is Hebrew for fuck you. That one was a favorite, but I really like Jeremy Shear apologist. Like, because that really like is like, hey, I'm a fan of this guy. I like that.
Yeah.
When I get my press set up, there's going to be Jeremy Shear shirts galore. I'm going to have a warehouse, but a basement.
I'm going to be Comedy's Kenny Omega.
Fuck yes, dude. I like that. Who's your Okada?
Who's my Okada? Tabitha.
I don't know if she could hit a clothesline like that, though.
I mean, she hit me pretty hard when we were in Fort Wayne. The metaphorical clothesline, if you will.
Fair enough. The comedy clothesline.
She doesn't hit very hard, though.
Sorry for the wrestling references.
No, it's very cool. I definitely get all of it.
You do nothing but patronize me.
Yeah, I know.
And it works. It's fine.
You're a Jordan Patrick apologist. He doesn't need a bigger ego, Chelsea. It's big enough. Why do you think his fucking head's so fat? He wasn't always like this. He had a little peanut head.
Have you seen the pictures of me when I was a kid? It's all head. It's just all fucking face, dude.
Oh, all head. Okay. Not what I was thinking. All of Jordan's Patrick's baby pictures are all head. Okay.
That is a photo album that I don't want to flip through.
Here's Jordan Patrick mistaking a clitoris for a nipple.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, fuck Andy Warhol, and fuck you guys, too.
Fuck you, you fat-headed motherfucker.
That's fine.
You're never going to get your 15 minutes.
I think mine already came and went.
I think we've been doing this podcast for more than 15 minutes.
That's true. We have we have over 50, well over 50 hours of content. Yeah. So, I don't know.
It's famous. A lot of content.
It is.
Yeah.
And we're not quitting.
No.
Not until one of us dies.
Yeah, well.
So any day now.
You're going to die soon, Jordan.
It's going to be me?
No.
Honestly, we'd probably end up dying together. Not like
holding hands?
Well, not in any suicide kind of way. If it was a suicide kind of way, it would definitely be like a Thelma and Louise type thing. Mm-hmm. We'd just be like, where we're being chased down by pitchforks and tiki torches. And we're just like, all right, time to jump off the Rocky River Bridge. Or whatever bridge.
Why would I go to Rocky River?
Okay, well then where do you want to die?
Where do I want to die? In the bathtub.
We're not dying in a bathtub together. That is not something that anybody ever needs to see or discover.
Okay, I've already planned this out. When I die in the bathtub, I'm going to be in swim trunks.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, that's very generous of you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Chelsea King, Jeremy Shear apologist.
Look, all I'm saying is they're already going to have to, like, you know, clean out the tub and move my body. They don't have to see my dick.
What if, like, what do you think, like, one of the, like, they'd be like, oh, all right.
Yeah, exactly like what happened at Gigi's funeral. That'll happen.
Oh, fuck Gigi.
Okay.
I mean, I love him, but, and you tell me I look like him, so thank you.
You do.
I do not.
You do. You look like Gigi Allen tried HGH. That's why you have a big fucking head.
I don't like
your tattoos are better than Gigi's.
I smell better than Gigi Allen.
Yeah, well, you don't have a dirty butthole.
That's not like something to brag about. He certainly smelled worse than anyone else.
Damn it.
I mean, he did. It was, you know, it was a lot of poop.
Yeah.
Lots of poop.
Just lots of poop. I saw a Gigi Allen bobblehead the other day. Don't know why I didn't buy it. But... You know, it's got, like, the Gigi Allen, and then, like, on the little platform around him are just, like, poops and peas.
Really?
Of course.
That's pretty awesome.
Do you think Gigi Allen is a direct result of Andy Warhol?
No. Gigi Allen is the direct result of crazy fucking religious parents.
Well, so was Andy Warhol.
Yeah. Maybe. There might be a connection there.
I wonder if they ever crossed paths.
I don't know. But you know what? I think G.G. Allen took himself way less seriously than Andy Warhol did. Yeah. So that's the difference there.
It's difficult to say that you're taking yourself seriously when you're screaming at a room full of people, suck my ass, it smells.
Or bite it, you scum. It's a great song. It's a great song.
And so the lasting legacy of Andy, if there's anything that's eminently hateable about Andy Warhol, it's that his lasting legacy is reality television.
I mean, if we're talking like long run, yeah, that is like the worst thing that has come out of it. Now, that being said, I do love to watch reality television.
Of course you do.
but like I love to hate watch it. Okay. So I'm not like idolizing these people.
Reality TV hipster.
Yeah.
Syndrome.
Yeah.
I was watching The Real World before it was cool.
My favorite Real Housewives is Orange County.
I don't know what that is.
Oh my God. That's fine. That's fine.
I'm going to make her watch Total Divas, the wrestling reality show about all the girls.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's, I watch it. It's trash TV,
yeah.
But I still, I mean, because it's like, oh, I like her and I like her. Oh, there's John Cena. Cool.
Oh, okay.
I watch it for the dudes.
Yeah.
That's also why he watches porn.
Go fuck yourself.
No. No, I'm not going to film it and then project it over my... Yes, I am.
Jeremy is going to... No, you're going to film yourself jerking off and project it over me doing stand-up. Art.
Actually, yes, because, you know, then I don't have to film it for an hour.
You know, what you're going to get out of me is 7 minutes.
Okay, perfect. I'm not going to come. Nobody's going to laugh. It's going to be...
Oh, my God.
That was pretty good. Once again, fuck you.
Fuck you. I can't come. This is my biggest problem.
Well, I'm not going to help you with that.
Why not?
I mean,
somebody anonymously on my Saraha said, if you ever need help, get a hold of me. That wasn't you. I need help.
No, it was not me. If I had to guess, it was probably Mike Dragon.
Yeah.
You gonna let Mike Dragon jerk you off?
No. No, because then he'll follow me around like a little puppy.
It was, it was probably Sam.
I also wouldn't let Sam jerk me off because he'll follow me around like a little. Hey, I made you come. Like, can we hang out?
That's my brother.
I don't want to look at you anymore. That's my problem.
Chelsea, do you have any closing thoughts on Andy Warhol? Or a summation of your thoughts?
Summation of my thoughts. Andy Warhol was a curator of bullshit, and, fuck that guy.
That's what it's going to say in your eulogy. A curator of bullshit.
Fuck that guy. I'm not Cleveland's curator.
It's funny because we all know who you mean.
But we won't say it.
Good, good. So basically, Andy Warhol has created Jenkum. He is shit in a jar, is fermented.
You know, when I went to jail, the first question my dad asked me when I got out is if we were doing Jenkum in there. And I was like, I was in a county jail, so definitely not. No.
You'd like to go on record as saying...
Yeah, please. If there is one thing that I've never done in my life, it was jail jankum or any other kind of jankum.
I was going to say, you might want to addendum that a little bit.
Well, you did paint your nails with jail pussy. All right. Chelsea King, thank you so much for joining
us. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. We have to do our thing. All right. So thank you very much to our sponsors. Chris Clem at Chris_Clem on the Twitter, Jess Falstich at Epic Fall on the Twitter, and Britt Fox, X Fox Rocks, also with an X on Snapchat and Instagram. And Plight of the Stripper Herder. You can find that at plightofthestripperherder.blogspot.com. It is the harrowing tale of a man with many years of strip club industry experience, giving you tips and tricks to navigate your way through that world, and also stories from the front lines. It's a wonderful read. Check it out when you have a chance. We have room for a new sponsor. You can go to patreon.com/dirtysheer. It's $30 a month. We'll make you a commercial.
Well, we'll make you multiple commercials.
Yeah.
Well, for as well as long as you're a sponsor.
As long as you're a sponsor. And, yeah, just let us know. I'll work you out a deal if you don't want to use Patreon. I understand. That's how we did Stripper Herder. So hit me up. We can get your personal brand out there for your 15 minutes.
You can also follow Chelsea for cool pictures of weird records at, what's your Instagram?
At Chelsea King was here.
Very easy. Very, yeah. Very easy.
You've dropped the mayonnaise thing.
Yeah. All yeah. Right. I needed to get my name out there, so.
Yeah.
She needed a brand.
Branding. Yes. My personal brand is very important, and mayonnaise is not necessarily part of it.
Fair enough. you know, also, Sam Holmes, thanks very much for the logo. You can find her on the Instagram at Sam Holmes. That's Holmes like you live in, not Holmes like you hang with. Thank you very much to Mike Calhoun for recording us again this week, as, you know, Pete Milk at Milky Way Recordings was unavailable.
He gets increasingly busier because he is good at what he does.
He is a very talented audio wizard, and as he and us get busier, you know, it is better for everyone. So I am not mad about it.
Nope.
And now would be a good time to tell you all, if you are in Michigan
or the area
this weekend, we are going to be at Shakespeare's Lower Level on Saturday.
September 9th.
September 9th.
That's 8 p.m. Well, show up at 7.
Doors at 7, show at 8. Yep. Jordan and I will be doing two episodes of Let the Hate Flow Through You, followed by the Sad Boys Social Club Sketch Comedy Extravaganza.
$5. There will be drink specials. You can get food there as well. It's in Kalamazoo, like right in downtown Kalamazoo. So if you're within a couple hours and you listen to the show, fucking come out. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We're going to have so much fun.
All of the fun.
And, yeah, we've got people coming from Indiana. We got people coming from Illinois. We got people coming from Ohio.
We got people coming from, I would assume, Detroit, other parts of Michigan.
Yeah, just come on out. Don't tell my ex-girlfriend or everybody dies. That is a fact.
But yeah, we're doing that. We'll be in Kalamazoo all weekend hanging out with people.
Yeah.
I assume we're leaving probably Sunday, late morning, early afternoon.
Well, we all have to,
we all have shit to do on Monday.
Yeah. Well, I have to get ready for the other thing I need to plug.
Oh,
the Acting Out Festival. That is, my show is, Wednesday, September 13th at 78th Street Galleries. I am opening up for Aparna Nancharla. Late night writer extraordinaire and wonderful comedian who struggles with depression. Also on that show, Chris Wernowski, a guy from LA that I don't remember, and Jimmy Graham is hosting. So,
on that note, also tell him who's headlining the whole Acting Out Festival.
Andrew WK.
And he's doing a free fucking show.
I saw that on Facebook the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to look, everything is free with this Acting Out Festival, except for a couple things at the Happy Dog, which are suggested donations, but you got to get tickets. Yeah. So, you know, just there's limited seating space. So if you want to come out and see me like upset people by talking about trying to kill myself, this is a good opportunity to do it. Yeah. So, Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates Andy Warhol as much as Chelsea King.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rampant offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep saying no.
This episode of Let the Hateful Three is brought to you by Chad Weaver.
Chad Weaver oozes genius from every pore.
Every pore.
Every pore.
Every pore.
At Weaver Chad.
Retweet and like everything.
Retweet and like everything.
Only God can suck him.
That's Chad Weaver.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.